So we're learning Sefer Tomer Tvorah, and we've been speaking a little bit about how, for Moshe Cordovero, one of the ways that a person can really become most like Ribbono Shel Olam, one of the ways a person can develop a certain kind of dveikus, and in his words, maximize our Tzelem Elokim, is by living a life inspired by the Midos of Hashem. Now, we spoke the first week about how there's two tiers of Midos of Hashem. There's the Midos, the Shlarites, that are more revealed. That's what the Gemara talks about sometimes, of Mahurachum, Mafatarachum. And then there are the Midos of Ribbono Shel Olam that are less revealed. They are the Midos that, if you understand in a deeper way the way Hashem interacts with this world, then we can understand in a deeper way the way that we are expected to act. There can be a depth of understanding of the nature of Midos and what exactly we are supposed to or we're able to do. For Moshe Cordovero, the Midos he elaborates on are based on the Pesukim and Sefer Micha. We're gonna go through one at a time. We're gonna speak today about a midah, which is it's an unbelievable midah of Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's a midah that a person who's able to live by this is undoubtedly in an amazing place. That midah is the midah of Mikael Kamocha, who is a God, who is a God like you. What does that refer to? Wonders of Moshe Cordovero, and how is that a midah that we are supposed to live our lives with? He mentions the following idea. He says, you know, God is an incredibly patient God. God is a God that gives an enormous amount, and with all that God gives, and with all that He provides, He's giving it to people that don't always recognize His role, and that Dafka use the gifts that He gives in ways that are sometimes anti the mission of Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? He writes as follows. He says, Mora hayotzkosh baruch hu melech ne'elav sovel elba v'chulei, harei. Step one says, Moshe Cordovero, embracing the view of many Rishonim, simple Pesach, many Gemaras, the view of Mikubalim, Chassidim, and the dominant view nowadays. There's nothing that goes on in this world that Baruch Shalom is not aware of. There's nothing in this world in which Baruch Hu's Hashkacha is not felt. As Ramchal writes in Mesillas Yesharim, Perachav Hei, Hu Yisbarach Mashkiach Al Kol Davar Katan V'Gadol V'Nistar Minegad Einav. Because Baruch Hu is aware of all that takes, is all that takes place. And the next step isn't just that Hashem is aware of all that takes place, but the od in rega shloyeh ha'adam nizur miskayim mikoach ha'elyon ha'shofei Allah. That every moment that a being is alive, every moment that we are alive in this world, is because in that moment, in that very moment, the Ribbono Shel Olam chooses to continue to provide us, to give us koach to be able to live. That Ekos Baruch Hu is aware of every being, and every second He's constantly giving us the koach for us to be able to survive. And if we didn't have that koach, so we would cease to exist. We wouldn't be able to continue functioning in this world. Some of the Sfarim and Tumah Devorah point out that the Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh Chaim and Shir Aleph Perek Beis, Hu Yisbarach Shemo, their bonus olam, kimo be'ez briyas ha'olam as kulam. Just like when God created the world, Barim v'msiyam Hu Yisbarach Yesh Me'ayin, God created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, out of nothingness, God created the Metzias. Kain me'az, kol yom uvechol rega mamish. So too, in every single day and in every single moment, kol koach mitziusam v'sidim v'kiyumam taloi rak, v'mashri yisbarach shmo mashpia behem, birtzono yisbarach kol rega, koach v'shivas orchadas. The only reason why we continue to be in existence is because Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a certain koach, a certain capacity to continue to be alive, and because Baruch Hu is constantly sustaining us. The point that Moshe Cordovero is something unbelievable. Let's go step by step. One, because Baruch Hu knows what's going on with every single being in this world, that view of Hashkacha. Number two, that not only is Baruch Hu aware of what's going on, because Baruch Hu dafka every single second that we are alive and we are in existence, because Baruch Hu continues to provide us with koach, provide us with strength in order for us to be able to be alive. That again, as echoes, you see that in Ramchal Masil Susharim, you see that also in the Sefer Nefesh Chaim. Says Moshe Cordovero the following unbelievable idea. If that is true, an unbelievable phenomenon takes place, which is like this. Hare Timtza, that if a person ever sins in this world, they are sinning in this world at the very moment that Hashem Baruch Hu decides to sustain their existence. Because Baruch Hu provides this unbelievable gift called being alive. Baruch Hu provides that and gives us the koach we need to sustain ourselves, because otherwise we wouldn't. Whenever a person sins, in the very moment when they sin, they are taking the koach their Baruch Shalom gave them, and they are using that to be able to violate a particular chait. The way that, quote here, the way that Rav Dessler referred to this in Michtav Meliyo, The way that Rav Dessler described this is in Chelek Gimel, page 669, is that Moshe Kover basically explains, if you understand it well, that whenever a person sins, it's really only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to sin. Because Baruch Hu gave him the strength to be able to sin. And in a certain sense, it's as if I'm almost like being mishtate for bonus shalom, like in my sin. It's only because Baruch Hu gave me the koach to be able to do so that I'm then able to sin. God took a step back so that we could choose. I'm basically taking the gift and I'm using it in that direction, suggests Rav Dessler. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is a God which is almost embarrassed. It's a God which is treated incredibly poorly because he's providing so much and cares about and is focused and is giving a koach. And in that koach, a person uses the koach of Ribbono Shel Olam and uses that koach to be able to sin. And that's a bechina of the Malachi Asharis called Ribbono Shel Olam Melech Aluv, the Hayinu Omro Mikael Kamocha. That what does that mean? Because Baruch Hu is giving so much. And he's giving so much that even when a person uses the koach he gave us, Kesbaruch Hu waits atasova v'ne'elav ad yashav v'tshuva. That a person, waits, maybe soon the person will do tshuva. But I'm going to give you that space and I'll give you that koach at that same time. And Kesbaruch Hu is willing to suffer the feeling, again, suffer kivyachal, the feeling of providing, of infusing energy, and is willing to say, I'm gonna give him that space. I'm gonna let him sin. Even though he's using my koach in a way which is very problematic. Says Rav Moshe Cordovero, if you wanna be like Ribbono Shel Olam, Hare zo mida shetzarich ha'adam lehisnahig ba. This is a mida that people should live their lives with. Hasavlanus, the patience. V'chein heyosu ne'elav. And sometimes maybe you'll be a little bit embarrassed. Sometimes you'll be a little bit humiliated. Sometimes you'll be a little bit, it can be very, very hard emotionally to get to this madrega. That a person that I give to, sometimes as a Moshe Cordovero, there can be a person that you give to in this world. And the person that you give to in this world can be a person that doesn't always use the gifts that you gave them in the way that you would like. And sometimes they use the gifts that you gave them in the exact opposite way, because Baruch Hu gives us life. He wants to give us life so that we can be Mekayim Torah and Mitzvot, so we can do good things. And in that very moment that we're given that gift, we use it and we pervert it for sin. So Moshe Cordovero, that's a lot of life. There's a guy that I give a lot to. There's a person that he may be the recipient of enormous chesed. And he doesn't always take advantage of that chesed. I say to myself, I give a couple hours every afternoon to this person. I spend so much time talking to this person. I give a lot of time in the morning to this person. And they're not responding the same way. Parents and children can have this in a certain sense. A parent says, I've given so much to this kid. He's alive because of me. And I'm providing him so much financially, emotionally. And the kid, he responds in a way which is taking some of those gifts and using them in the worst way possible. He's using it in a way which goes against everything I believe in. In that moment, to be patient. I speak here not about the strategy of effective parenting. I don't know the answer to that. But there's in that moment when a person says, even though this person doesn't treat me that well, and even though this person has never been makir tov for the gifts that I've given, and even though this person, this very moment when I give the gift, is going to use it in a way which is not so appropriate. So it's in that moment. It's in that moment that a person's able to really tap into. That a person's able to become most like Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a subtle midah of Hashem, not the midah of Hashem of Racham. The midah of Hashem is he's willing to swallow a lot to be able to give over. I'm willing to swallow certain things to be able to give over. I remember once at a meeting. This is many years ago. We were there was a YU run still a Shavuos program. So Shai Schechter had the idea initially to run this kind of a program of a couple of days of learning in a hotel. Rabbi Schechter did not want to, for whatever reason, he wanted to approach certain people with a couple other people there. So Rabbi Eitan Schnall was there also, and I came along also for the ride. So we were very involved in sort of organizing or planning something under Rabbi Penner. Rabbi Penner is a very, very special and remarkable person. I remember there was a moment, we were all, I guess, like a little bit post-Smicha, maybe a year or two post-Smicha, in Smicha at the time, and there was a moment where there was a degree of frustration about the way that we were sort of not treated, God forbid, but it wasn't done in a certain kind of smooth way. You're trying to give, and sometimes when you're trying to give, the people, the recipients, aren't there the same way. So I remember Rabbi Penner saying a line I think about from time to time. Rabbi Penner said, "Guys, if this is bothering you, and if you're in the need for constant recognition for the things that you're doing for someone else, I'll tell you right now, I think you're in the wrong profession. I'm not sure this is a job for you." Like, if you, it wasn't saying in the Musri way. He was saying it like in a way of giving a degree of direction. If again, it came off like that. It was a very powerful statement. It was, it can't be that every time I give, I need back. It can't be that every time I give, what's in it for me? It has to be that I give, and maybe it won't come back in the same way. The Ribono Shel Olam is a step beyond that, which is even when I'm giving, people to use that in a way, it's very, very challenging. I remember hearing an older, I guess you would say, friend of mine, talk about as a kid who, and I'll say this in a very delicate way, does not live life fully in line with the values of the parents. And I remember the parents having this question at one point: when you give your kid, you give your daughter money to go shopping, and your daughter buys clothing that is very much not in line with your particular values, So in that moment, to be able to continue to give and continue to be there, again, the details of how you parent someone like that is not for now. The midah of being able to continue to give and continue to support, that's a midah which is a midah of Ribono Shel Olam. That's a midah of Mikael Kamocha. Like who's like that? Who's a kel like who can do that? That is something which is unbelievable. V'im kol zeh lo yasof tovaso min ha-mekabel means to continue to go on. That you're continuing to give even if. Says the Moshe Cordovero, again, there's always that hope, Atzei Yashav B'Tshuva. But I'll add an additional layer. There's something enormously powerful about that. I always debate how much to reference what I do in the summer here. I don't in the summer reference what I do during the year. But I remember once having a conversation. There was a guy who was a madrich, a counselor in the summer, who had Yitachin the hardest group of guys to deal with. It was wild. If you were constructing humans to put with someone, this guy would have, you know, he would outdo you in terms of some of the struggles that he had. I don't mean that for real, but he was giving a lot, and they were taking none of it. He was nice. He's an unbelievable person. He was giving a tremendous amount. So I was sitting down one late night in the Beis Medrash there with a very dear friend, Rabbi Josh Shulman, and this guy came over to schmooze a little bit. So I asked him a question that was on my mind. It was a question to sort of like check in a little bit. I knew this guy. I knew he's interested in going to Chinuch, and it was an immensely challenging group. I said to the guy the following question. I said, before the summer, you were very much interested in going into Chinuch. For where you are right now, you are more the same or less interested to go into Chinuch given the experience that you had. The most likely answer for people like that, it's not the first time in my life I've asked that question. The most likely answer for people like that is I'm significantly less likely to do so. I had an image of what I wanted it to be. I want to be able to give over the guy. He's nice in learning. He's talented. I want to be able to share ideas. I want to be able to share Torah. You know, most people say, "Taka, I think I'm less likely into it." He responded in a moment of absolute, it was astonishing greatness. He wasn't being cute about it. There was not a crowd around. It was a real conversation with real people. He said, for sure, he thinks he's more likely to go into it. He's more likely to go into it because Mikael Kamocha, he tapped into a midah of Ribono Shel Olam. He understood that what it means to really be Davak Tashem. That it was never about the other person and the recipient. What is he going to do with it? How holding is he in whatever I'm teaching? How much has he mastered, you know, whatever I've done? That was a moment of it requires unfathomable patience with enormous challenge and enormous difficulty. But he was able to keep on giving. And in those moments where you keep on giving, I don't know if he knew the Talmud Devorah, if he knew the Moshe Cordovero, or he didn't. But it was in that moment that he was it was the midah of Hashem Yisbarach. And we quoted the first week from the Shla. It may not be a formal chiyuv in the way of normal v'halachta bedracha, but it is certainly ra'oi. And in that moment, that guy had more telem elokim, you know, than anyone else. That was a real telem elokim kind of a moment. That was a real moment of an actualizing, you know, what that means. Because he's willing to give, even when the person is not necessarily there, and could be the person using all of your gifts and all the things you're giving them, you know, to do things that are not. That's Rabbeinu Shalom. Because Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening. Mamish, everything that's happening. Says Moshe Cordovero, elaborates the Ramchal Masil Shasharim. It's an idea, again, in Torah Chassidus, the Baal Shem, all over the place. And of course, Baruch Hu doesn't just know what's happening, but Rechaim V'Lashner, it's only alive because I am constantly sustaining it. The Baal Tanya writes similarly. There's a constant sense of the Ribono Shel Olam infusing koach, which allows me to be able to live and function. And it's in that very moment that we use it for something which is less ideal. This is far easier said than done. There are so many frustrations that take place. There's a lot of research even on teacher burnout. I had a conversation with somebody a couple of days ago that asked that question, you know, when it's a long chorus man and a leap year and a lot of the guys are feeling burnout. Is Rebellion feel burnout also? So the answer is like, of course, because some of it has to do with being human, has to do with being ups and downs. And one of the struggles sometimes with teacher burnout, I remember hearing a very, very talented Rebbe once say this to a group of mechanchim about to enter chinuch. Now, one of the things he said was like, it can't ever be about what you have to give, and you plant seeds. Some of those seeds, so maybe atcha yashav b'tshuva, maybe the person's going to come back. And if they don't, so being like Rabbeinu Shalom is continuing to give, is continuing to be sensitive, is continuing to care in whatever way a person is able to, that's something which is great. That's a midah for some. It's a midah of gevura. It's a midah of strength. It requires a lot of strength to know when to pull back, when to be able to know when not to. But this midah is powerful because there's always chance that they're going to be able. Always a chance that they're going to be able to come back. I often tell over the Misa, when I was in high school. It was a very, very powerful. The guy I was pretty friendly with, grew up largely Hasidic. Father is a Rav in a very Hasidish kind of a community. The father is a real powerful figure. The kid was brought up with very, very long payas, and he decided, again, I'm sorry I've said this over in the past, it was one of the most powerful parenting things. I was in high school. I was very taken by it. Friendly with the kid when the kid was sort of on his way out a little bit. Kid was on his way out. He was leaving. And he said to the, and he told his father he wants to cut his payas off. Is that okay? He asked the father, okay, if I cut my payas off. He already cut them shorter and shorter. And the father said, you can totally cut the payas off with one t'nai. The one t'nai is I ask you a bakasha. Is it okay if I cut them off for you? And the father came and the father cut the kid's payas off. Cut the kid's payas off. The kid eventually did come back of the yashav b'tshuva. But it was the father acting. I've given you a lot to give you a very spiritual and uplifting life, and you've chosen not to. But the Ribono Shel Olam always provides that koach. And the father, in modeling that midah, the father, I'm always going to be there, and I'll always give to you, and I'll always use my koach, you know, to help you in whatever way. And that's Yim Kolza Atasova V'Ne'elav Atche Yashav B'Tshuva. Sometimes when that kid comes back into the shul that the father's the rabbi of so many years later, and you know, and it comes back and the kid doesn't have payas there, that's a challenge for the father. But it was the right parenting move. And the kid, Atche B'Tshuva, the kid did come back a little bit. But it's because of that midah, it's because of that capacity to be able to give in a very, very meaningful way. So we should be zocha to love and support those that maybe don't always embrace our love and support, and to do so and to realize in a way that we are as connected and as attached to Ribono Shel Olam in that moment as we can be. Have a wonderful rest of your day.